to the newborn King, let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior.
That capture her ability to discern what is best, what is right or wrong, what is needed in any given situation. Intuitive, passionate, fierce, unapologetic, it is a knowledge base that is innate. She knows just what we need and when something is just not right. This deep sense of knowing and understanding is a part of who she is. We call it Mother Wit. And while there continues to be social and cultural doubts about her ability to be pretty and smart at the same time, King Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman. Wisdom, then, is a woman with her hand on her hip. She may not have muscles, but this is a strength. Talked over, shouted down, spoken to condescendingly, it does not change this fact. Second-guessed and undermined, she still knows what she is talking about. Ignored and frowned upon, her words may go unheeded, but it does not mean that what she has to say is not needed. We need to hear from women, because women just know when things don't add up, when something is out of place, when something needs to be said. Whether you call her a prophet or a nag, she knows that she is right. We know what is required, and we are conditioned to make the sacrifice, to do what it takes to hold it all together. She is trained in checks and balances. The world would be in trouble without her. In fact, this is what God said. It is not good for man to be alone. Adam had a full-time job as a zoologist and the best food that the Garden of Eden had to offer. He had a man cave and no woman to tell him to mow the lawn, to take out the trash, or to wash dishes. And it wasn't good for him. This arrangement was not working for him. It was a man's world, and it wasn't good. So then, Eve made the world a better place. That is, until she opened her mouth. I don't want any amens right there. She started gossiping with the serpent and turned the world upside down. Though both Adam and Eve sinned and were both punished with hard labor, we have been covering and condemning the woman's mouth ever since. Her voice discounted and dismissed, women still struggle to speak up. When they do, they are hard pressed to find spaces where they are heard. Not just a problem in Mary's time, we still don't believe the testimony of women and offer few spaces for her to share her side of the story. So I am left to wonder what the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mary would have said. I want to read about the things that she treasured in her heart. I wonder what she was thinking about and what she felt as she carried Jesus. Surely, if anyone is qualified to speak about Jesus, she is. This mother knows. And I knew that I was pregnant. John and I had tried to conceive a child for the first 5 years of our marriage. I prayed that the desire to become a mother would be taken away from me. Told as a teenager that I would never have children of my own, it was cruel to want what I could not have. I cried and screamed into a pillow one night. If I cannot have a child, God, take away the desire. A few weeks later, I was pregnant, and I knew it. One morning, I was so sick that death was the only other option. I woke up, and a wave of nausea dampened my demeanor. The first words out of my mouth were, "I'm pregnant. And if I'm not, I'm dying." I got out of bed and walked over to the bathroom to take a pregnancy test, and all three were positive. John couldn't figure out how I knew, and I couldn't point to the proof. Still, I knew that there was a little hand forming that was mysteriously sticking its finger down my throat. No notice and no bags, a little guest had arrived and would be staying in my tummy for the next few months. But Mary was not trying to get pregnant. She was not expecting a baby, but planning a wedding. She was creating a guest list, not picking out baby names. She and Joseph were looking to buy a house, not a crib. She was expecting to change her last name, not diapers. So she didn't understand the angel's greeting. She was not doing anything special or out of the norm for a girl her age. How then was she the favored one? What do you mean the Lord is with you? She had found favor with God, and it was not in the capitalistic sense that we are used to. Favor did not mean that she was getting something, a new house, a new car, a business deal, a promotion, or more money. No, this favor meant that she was about to give something for God. And it is no small favor. This was not just a simple courtesy or even a good deed. God is not asking to borrow a cup of sugar or a few dollars until payday. God wants her body. And with it changes her story. Like Mary, if God dwells in us, then the direction of our lives and our stories should change too. God is going to make her body a holy habitation, quite literally. And this says something about the way that God has made us. While it is true that we are sinful in nature, God is not only with us, but God can dwell in us. Dirt and divinity go together. But that's not all. The angel says to her, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. More than hoop dreams or a television child star, Jesus is not just going to be something or somebody. He will change the course of history, and it will begin with her story. Jesus will get his start in her belly. She was not given a pregnancy test, but a message from God. Without clear blue or first response, Mary will not get a pink plus or a pregnant sign. Instead, Mary gets an angel. Before marriage and morning sickness, she finds out that she is going to be a mother. But she does not know a man. She is a virgin and has no knowledge of such intimacy. Consequently, she would be a single, unwed mother. Without a man in the equation, Mary cannot figure this out. This is not the order of things. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. But there is something before love. Her calling. And like so many of us, Mary does not know the full ability, power, and scope of the Holy Spirit. She is not familiar with all the recipes that God has for making babies, as Elizabeth also has a bun in the oven. Mary thinks that she needs a man, a husband, or a male representative for God to use her. But this is not true. Her belly will grow without him. Her relationship with God does not require Joseph's approval, and God does not inform Joseph ahead of time. Joseph is not needed to negotiate the terms and conditions of Mary's calling. Instead, with the proclamation of Christ's birth through the Virgin Mary, it is the creation narrative reversed. This time, it is the woman who is alone with God. From Mary, a man, the Son of God, is pulled from her womb. Flesh of her flesh and bone of her bone, divinity is born. Jesus is called the Son of the Most High, the Son of Man, and the Son of God. But not much attention is given to the fact that Jesus is Mary's baby. Though she is his mother, we have no full account of her personal experience with Jesus. Maybe this is why each year we sing, Mary, Did You Know? Despite the fact that Mary is Jesus' mother, there is no book of the Bible written about her or by her. Throughout the New Testament, there is limited record of her voice and experience. We know more of genealogies, of wars and kings, of prophecies foretold and early church beginnings than we know of Mary's life as the mother of Jesus. One of the most important stories of the New Testament and the defining experience of her life is not written in her hand. I wonder what story she would have shared. What did it feel like to carry the Son of God and to give birth? While we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, I cannot imagine a birthing scene that is either. Labor is not calm. But full of pressure, pulling, sweat, blood, tears, and screaming, both mother and child. Our nativity scenes have been cleaned up, fit with neatly arranged hay, orderly animals, and stoic visitors. Mary is not recovering on a pallet and shows no signs of labor. Now, I hope we're not expected to believe that she cleaned up after giving birth. Like the crosses we wear and hang on our walls, the manger shows no signs of suffering. But the birth of Christ and his death require it. While he is the Son of God, he is Mary's baby and entered the world not on angels' wings, but through her womb. If we picture anything different, then we are guilty of theological airbrushing. William Willimon writes in his book, Why Jesus, about the reasons why persons are still enthusiastic about him. None of the reasons listed are because he is Mary's baby. Instead, Willimon masterfully tells stories about Jesus as preacher, homewrecker, vagabond, and lover. Perhaps it is because his story is being told from a male point of view that we do not hear about Jesus as a mama's boy. But because Mary is Jesus' mother, we can relate to him. Because Mary is his mother, Jesus is accessible to us. Because Mary is his mother, Jesus is one of us. While Jesus is divine, his relation to Mary makes him human. As his parent, she is a part of what makes him who he is. And no matter his attributes and accomplishments, all his titles and our testimonies, Jesus will always be Mary's baby. Yes, he will be great, but he will need her to groom him. Yes, he will inherit the throne of his ancestor, but he will still have to work for his allowance. Yes, he will reign over the house of Jacob, but first he will abide by her rules. The prophet Isaiah said, authority rests on his shoulders, but he will still need to take a nap. His mother knows Jesus unlike any other human in history. Better than the prophets who foresaw him, she has a vision of Christ that we will never see. Though he ministered to thousands, she bears a touch and a testimony that no other shares. She carried the word and was his first witness. Mary was his first disciple, walking with Jesus as she taught him to walk. She taught him how to speak and heard his first words. She learned of him while teaching him to speak. While we do not have her journals, and whether we admit it or not, we cannot deny that this mother knows. So let us not forget that while Jesus is the Son of Man and the Son of God, he is also the Son of Mary. Yes, Jesus is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But he is also Mary's baby. Amen. And you have heard the word. Now it's time for the good part, the invitation to discipleship. If you don't know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, I invite you to get to know Mary's baby. If the divinity scares you, know that he came in the flesh through the womb of a woman and that he can relate to us. I am extending my hand. God is offering his heart to us through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, the invitation is to come, to walk down this aisle, to give me your hand and God your heart. If you've already committed your life to Christ and you don't have a church home, this is the place to be. This is the place to be. This is God's house. And we'll work on our nativity scenes. Either way, the invitation is to come. Please stand and sing. It came upon the midnight clear.